Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it is my pleasure to welcome the many listeners we have throughout the world, but also the four talented, extrovert, and brilliant players of the game who have assembled to perform in the show this week. They are Paul Merton, Graham Norton, Fred McCauley, and Clement Freud, and will you please welcome all four of them? As usual, I'm going to ask them to speak on a subject that I will give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from the subject. Beside me sits Jane Gibson, who's going to help me keep the score, and when the 60 seconds are up, she will blow, in magnificent fashion, a whistle. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the lovely, beautiful King's Theatre in the heart of the great city of Glasgow. And we're also part, by the way, of Music Live in Glasgow, which is lovely to be here for that. Paul Merton is going to begin the show this week, and the subject is speakeasy. Paul, give us some thoughts on that subject. 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
A man goes up to an ice cream van and he says, "I'll have a double vanilla ice cream." And the owner says, "Do you want raspberry syrup with that?" He says, "Yes." "Crushed nuts?" "No, laryngitis." And then...
How about... A brilliant gag. It deserves the applause. But, Clement, why did you challenge?
He repeated ice cream, but I wanted to let him get to the end of the story.
You know, he very sportingly let him repeat the word so he could get the gag out. Clement, you have a correct challenge. You get a point for a correct challenge, of course. There are 47 seconds available. The subject is speakeasy, and you start now.
Speakeasies were bars in America during the Prohibition, and people found that if they drank enough alcohol, they got all the effects of drunkenness. It was hugely encouraging. It was called speakeasy because you had to speak.
Fred McCauley, you challenged.
Yes, there was a hesitation, I thought.
And your thoughts are correct. I agree with you. There are 29 seconds available. Fred, you have a correct challenge. You have a point for that, of course. Speakeasies with you, starting now.
I think if they sold alcohol in these premises, then it was a misnomer, because speaking isn't very easy when you're drunk. Slurring is. It should have been called a slur-easy, because that's much better when you've had a few drinks. If it was in Glasgow, it would be called a speak-difficult, because you wouldn't be able to form a sentence, and you'd just stand there saying, "Oh, I'll have another pint, because I've had a grand old time." "You look at my pint there, pal."
Whoever is speaking as the whistle goes gains an extra point.
Only Scott here. I'm the one that's stereotyping us. I do apologise for that.
Don't worry, I can do it as well. So,
that's a comfort.
Fred McCauley, you were speaking as the whistle went. You gain an extra point for that. So you have got the lead at the end of the round. Graham Norton, will you take the next round? The subject is tying the knot. Will you tell us something about tying the knot in this game, starting now?
People often ask me why the lovely, talented Liz Hurley is often surrounded by seamen. And I can tell you, it's because they all share a deep interest in tying knots. Seamen, obviously, on their boats.
Paul Merton challenged.
An awful lot of seamen.
So, Paul, a correct challenge, repetition. 40 seconds are available for tying the knot with you, Paul Merton, starting now.
If you walk around the streets of Portsmouth, you'll find that they are full of discharged seamen, because the Royal Navy lets people go from the ships. But tying the knot is a peculiarly vicious form of contraception. What you have to do is the fallopian tube is snipped and then tied at the end. And I'm not referring, of course, to the male organ here, but the tubes that I was referring to, of course, belong...
Poor Clement Freud challenged.
Two of courses.
There were two of courses.
Was there really?
Yes. Children listen to this show, but I don't think they'll understand all that.
They will. were chatting about sailors tying knots.
Yeah. I don't think many children know about fallopian tubes.
Oh, in fairness, I see what you mean.
Yes.
So on some level, they have experience.
And if there are any children listening, if you ever are in fallopia, I can recommend.
Right, who challenged? Clement Freud, you had a correct challenge. You've got 14 seconds. Tying the knot, starting now.
When I was in the Boy Scouts, tying the knot was considered hugely important. Reef knot, sheep bend, sheep shank.
There was a couple of sheep there.
No. Yeah, one. Sheep shank is a one word.
Is it?
Yes.
I thought it's an illegal practice these days, isn't it? You can't do it on the Isle of Man, I know that.
I think it's a practice, but I don't know whether it's illegal. Clement, an incorrect challenge. So you have 5 seconds on tying the knot, starting now.
And you got a badge which was sewn onto the arm of your jacket, and you wore it proudly. Yes.
Yes. Clement Freud was then speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point for doing so, and he has taken the lead at the end of that round. And Clement, it's your turn to begin. The subject is the West Lothian question. That got an unexpected response. Well, they're obviously deeply involved in it up here, and there are 60 seconds as usual. Tell us something about it, starting now.
The West Lothian question was one put by Tam Diel, whose name is spent D-A-L-Z-I-E, and then the third letter again. And I'm not going to bother you with it hugely at this moment, because there are so many West Lothian questions. Is there toasty still for tea in Octomucti? Is a West Lothian question which...
Fred Macaulay challenge.
Deviation, Octomucti is not in West Lothian.
If it were in West Lothian, people would know. It's because it's not in West Lothian that people want to know whether there are still toasties in Octomucti.
A very fine effort to justify, Clement, but I disagree, so...
What do you mean you disagree?
Well, no, I think Fred's got a correct challenge, and I'm going to give him the subject.
You mean people in West Lothian can't ask about the provision of tea in Octomucti?
They can ask about it, but you conveyed that Octomucti was in West Lothian. And that's to my mind you did. 36 seconds. 36, that's right. 36. On the West Lothian question with you, Fred, starting now.
I'm out of...
Clement,
Hesitation.
But, yes, your light came on first, Paul. Right. Yes, it was a hesitation. The West Lothian question with you, Paul. 34 seconds, starting now.
I was watching a quiz show and the contestant was coming up to the final round and they were suddenly facing the West Lothian question. How many people in West Lothia are there who own their own cars? The person sat there for a moment and said, can I phone a friend? And so they contacted a pal by telephone who happened to live in West Lothian, and they decided to tell them that the answer was 147. So the person who was in the television studio...
Paul Merton was then speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point for doing so. He's equal with Fred Macaulay in second place. Clement Freud is 1 point ahead in the lead. And Paul Merton, your turn to begin. Oh, I say, this is interesting. The life cycle of a mayfly. Will you tell us something about that particular subject? 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
8 o'clock in the morning, born. 9:15, puberty. 10:30, become a regular listener to Radio 4. Is the average lifespan of the mayfly. It is a curious insect. It only has one day in which to spread its wings to find an appropriate sexual partner. Sometimes they find another mayfly. Sometimes it's a human being.
Graham Norton challenged.
Yeah, lots of some. Was it, is that it, bad?
No,
sometimes?
No, no. He repeated sometimes, yes.
And he's it's quite a long word.
Long word?
Yeah.
It's repeated. A long word. He repeated, and we haven't heard from you for ages.
Hello.
Hello.
And I was writing a postcard, sorry.
Right. The life cycle of a mayfly is with you, Graham, and there are 36 seconds available starting now.
To call it a life cycle seems a tragic misnomer. The poor mayfly scarcely has time to mount a bike. Never mind learn how to ride it and go for a cycle through the countryside with a basket full of kittens and onions round its strange insect neck. I...
Yes?
Deviation. The mayfly doesn't have a neck.
It's a little insecty thing, charging a little insect head to its insect leg.
No. Doesn't ride a bicycle either.
It doesn't ride a bicycle.
Really?
That's what I was saying. I was saying, why?
No,
why
he was going into a world of fantasy about the bicycle, but I agree. I mean, his head is attached to the body. You could say, in, you know, there's a form of mayfly neck there.
I think so.
Yes, and I agree. So I
the, sad, the sadness is, there will be letters.
Graham, I disagree with the challenge. So you get a point for that, and you keep the subject, the life cycle of a mayfly, 17 seconds starting now.
A mayfly spends its entire lifespan attending the funerals of relatives. This seems unfair. You get one day, and it's on the phone for flowers. Where do we go afterwards? Is it tea, coffee, sandwiches? I don't know.
So Graham Norton got points in that round, including one for speaking as the whistle went. And Graham Norton, it's your turn to begin. The subject, the shortest night. Tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now.
The shortest night I ever spent was in Bandon County, Cork, where I was heading out on my bike. And I was adjusting the saddle. But what they didn't tell you was that if you did that to the thing you sit on, it broke the brake cable. Poor design, I feel.
Fred Macaulay challenge.
I think A is a hesitation.
You said
.
Yeah, that's fine.
It's a technical term for bike cable.
Fred, I agree with the challenge. 39 seconds for you. The shortest night starting now.
Contrary to popular belief, the shortest night doesn't happen in June. It usually occurs.
Clement Freud, challenge. Yes?
Hesitation.
I think, actually, that he rather cleverly got away from happens and he rather elongated occurs into a strange-sounding word, but he didn't actually hesitate, to my mind, so I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. You're those equally you divided decision cheer? Amongst the audience. You will notice that I always redress the balance in fairness if there's another opportunity later. So you have the benefit of the doubt, Fred. 35 seconds available, the shortest night starting now. And Clement Freud, chance.
Hesitation.
No, you have another point, Fred Macaulay, and you have 34 seconds starting now.
And...
Yes.
Deviation.
Why?
He didn't hesitate.
Give Clement a bonus point because we enjoyed the challenge, but Fred, you've still got the subject and a point for being interrupted. You have 32 and a half seconds, starting now.
It happened in November when I was in Dublin and I had 50 minutes sleep, which must be the shortest night I've ever had. I was out having a dark substance that appeared in a glass and it was liquid with a white top. I think they call it stout because that's what it makes you after you've had 8 pints, and I woke up 50...
Clement challenge.
Was that hesitation?
Yes, it was hesitation. Clement, a correct challenge. It was hesitation on that occasion. And you have 11 seconds, the shortest night starting now.
When Her Majesty conferred a knighthood on Gordon Richards, the jockey, he became without much doubt the shortest night of the year.
Well, I'm glad you got that comment in, Clement, because it was well worth the applause. And you also spoke as a whistle when you gained that extra point, and you have increased your lead at the end of the round, and it's also your turn to take the next round. The subject is bangers and mash. Tell us something about that exotic subject in just a minute, starting now.
I think the Trade Description Act would be...
Fred Macaulay, challenge.
I just wanted to make an incorrect challenge to give Clement a point.
To redress the balance.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, Clement, you have a bonus point from Fred Macaulay.
A bonus point.
What's that?
I don't have a bonus point.
Yes, you do.
I have a point for a wrong challenge.
And you have 57 seconds to continue on Bangers and Mash, starting now. And Paul Merton challenged.
Sudden death.
That was hesitation. 20, 55 seconds available. Bangers and Mash with you, Paul, starting now.
To my mind, it's the most wonderful meal ever created. I remember when I was about 7 years old, my mother used to make bangers and mash, and particularly with gravy. I don't think there's anything like it. There is a shop in London that specialises in selling all kinds of different bangers made of lamb, nuts in May. All kinds of different recipes are used.
Clement Freud challenge.
Repetition of different.
There was a lot of different there.
Was there? A lot of different.
36 seconds, Clement. Another correct challenge. Bangers and Mash is back with you, starting now.
Bangers are called bangers because they have skin which under heat explodes, causing a bang. Mash.
Graham Norton challenge.
Not in my kitchen. That doesn't happen, does it?
Well, it
well,
does.
You're right, your sausages exploding.
Yes. If you
I'd
put
cook them more often if they did that. Yes.
If you put them on too strong a heat and cook them too quickly, they will explode. They will burst open. And they're delicious then. Clement, you have 29 seconds still available on Bangers and Mash, starting now.
Mash is called mash because you get potatoes and mash them. Normally, having previously boiled them with salt in water, you get a fork and wield it until the tubers are entirely pureed. A very good word, I think, for mash. Now, currently, mash is incredibly popular in restaurants because people know that it's fattening, that it's bad for them. You can have rosemary or thyme.
So Clement Freud kept going to the whistle when gained that extra point, and with other points in the round, he's got quite a strong lead now. But Fred McCauley, it's your turn to begin. The subject is this. What I'd be doing if I wasn't doing this. It's an interesting subject. Can you talk on it in this game, starting now?
Well, given that this is a recording, then what I'm doing when I'm not doing this, you can phone me up and ask me. And if it's the 12 o'clock recording that you're listening to, then I'm digging the garden. If it's the Sunday repeat, I'm lying down, not through having a hangover. It's because I hurt myself gardening.
Paul challenge.
Too gardening.
Yes, you're doing too much gardening, I'm afraid. What I'd be doing if I wasn't doing this, Paul, that's the subject, is with you, 41 seconds, starting now.
I'd be hitting the night spots of Glasgow with Nicholas Parsons. We'd pick up a couple of prostitutes, get some bottles of whiskey, and really show Glasgow how to enjoy itself. We'd be painting it red. We'd be saying to Brandy and Delilah.
The challenge. They love the idea of that dissipated image you created, but Clement had a correct challenge of hesitation. And
no,
the
I didn't.
What was your...
Repetition of Glasgow.
Oh, that's right. You can have repetition of Glasgow as well if you want, but it was...
Hesitation, then.
No, go with repetition. Please yourself.
No, because I think her name actually is Delilah.
Yeah. She's got a speech impediment that makes her 15 quid cheaper. I said to her once, I said, why, Delilah?
Is that the night you saw the light in her window?
Well, that's one way of putting it.
27 seconds is with you, Clement, on what I'd be doing if I wasn't doing this, starting now.
If I wasn't doing this, I would go into a telephone booth and ring West Lothian and ask whether they still serve toasties in Octomucti.
Poor challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes, it was. He got it off his chest and that was enough. So, Paul, you have a correct challenge of hesitation. 14 seconds left. What I'd be doing if I wasn't doing this, starting now.
Rather like Fred, when this show goes out, I will be sitting back, perhaps with a cup of tea in my hand, listening to the wonderful, witty repartee that passes for light entertainment in this farrago of a show. It is a wonderful pleasure.
Paul Merton kept going to the whistle when gained that extra point. He's creeping up on our leader, Clement Freud, but he's ahead of Graham Norton and Fred McCauley. And Paul Merton, it's your turn to begin. The subject is Chancing my arm. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
One night, when I was in the middle of the woods, a mischievous pixie appeared from around a tree trunk and asked me to dive into the flame of eternal youth. And I thought, hello. So what I did was, rather than risk my entire body, I chanced my arm into the fire. That is why this particular limb here is 15 years younger than the rest of them. And sometimes, when I get lonely, it comes in very handy. Because I can pick up the phone and dial my friends on that particular instrument, the telephone, and speak to them, whether about where they are, whether in West Lothian or Auchtermuchty, it doesn't matter. I can contact them telephonically and say, how are you? What's life like where you are? And they say, things are good, not too bad, thank you very much. One particular pal of mine, he was somebody who liked a bit of a gamble, and one year during the Grand National, he decided to bet on the fact that there would be a false start. Unfortunately, it wasn't in the year where there was a beginning that wasn't what it should have been. He had gambled on the 16th hole.
Wow. A well-deserved round of applause, because it's a tough game, and to do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation for one full minute and not be interrupted. He gets a point, of course, for speaking the whistle went, and a bonus point for not being interrupted. And Paul Merton, you have crept forward, but you're still just training our leader, Clement Freud. Clement Freud, it's your turn to begin. The subject is penny pinching. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
Penny pinching is an expression for mean, miserly, tight-fisted, parsimonious, or parsimonious, as some people pronounce it. There is...
Graham Norton challenge.
I thought he hesitated.
He did hesitate, yes, Graham. So you've got in with 47 seconds on penny pinching, starting now.
In Kansas, there is a Glasgow, much smaller than this lovely city, and yet it is quite quiet, but it gets very busy once a year, when rather like...
Paul Merton challenge.
We haven't established penny pinching
yet. No.
In a second.
I see.
Yes, but you do have to, in just a minute, considering we've only got 60 seconds, get into the subject much more rapidly than that.
All
otherwise,
right.
We're accused of...
Shall I do that, then?
No, you can't.
Curses.
A good try. No, I think that's deviation, because you had been going for quite a few seconds. Penny pinchings with you, Paul. 33 seconds starting now.
There used to be a game that you would see at the fun fair where you drop a penny through the slot onto this moving table effect thing. And the idea was to knock further coins off this ledge onto some other coins beneath it.
Clement Freud challenge.
Coins.
There were more coins than there should have been there. So 19 seconds is with you, penny pinching, Clement, starting now.
There are some who talk of having not two pennies to rub together. And it is the most extraordinary thing if...
Paul Merton challenge.
Isn't it two halfpennies to rub together?
Yes, it is. It's two halfpennies.
I said there are some who talk of not having two pennies to rub together.
Well, those people are guilty of deviation.
Yes.
And if they were here, I would tell them.
And you have told us and got a point for it, and the subject as well of 12 seconds, penny pinching, starting now.
I remember one night up here in Glasgow with Nicholas Parsons where Delilah was busy and Penny came out to see us, and she was an absolutely beautiful-looking woman. I remember our chairman saying...
Oh, dear. Yes, Clement, you've challenged.
Repetitions, remember...
Yes, you did remember too much. I wish I could remember Penny as well as you did.
She sends her regards.
Yes, she does.
You said you left your teeth behind last night.
Clement, back to just a minute. You got in with 1 second to go on penny pinching starting now. And you've challenged.
Hesitation.
I'd love to give it to you, but actually, no, he didn't hesitate. You've got 3/4 of a second on penny pinching. Clement, starting now.
Penny pin.
And...
Repetition.
Of what?
The same vowel sound as the one before.
What do I do? I know, give two bonus points to Paul because he'll enjoy both challenges, but they weren't correct. Clement's got 2 points, he'll get another point now, and he has penny pinching, half a second to go, starting now. Well, a lot of points are scored in that round, including one for speaking by the whistle was supposed to have gone by with Clement Freud. He's still in the lead, just ahead of Paul Merton, and then comes Fred McCauley and Graham Norton in that order. And we are now moving into the last round. It's very apt that Fred McCauley should take the last round. It's your turn, so Fred. And what a lovely Scottish subject we've got for you. A wee Doc and Doris. I'm sure they all know what it is out there, but will you try and elucidate on that subject starting now?
It is very appropriate that we finish with a wee Doc and Doris, because shortly we will all ging awa', which is the next line of that particular song. I didn't know if a wee Doc and Doris was indeed a drink and a chat, which is what I think it is. I used to think Dockin was indeed an adjective. And you could say what... Do let me finish, it's very funny.
No, it wasn't. It was Paul challenge first. It was hesitation, yes. So, Paul, can you try to tell us something about a wee Doc and Doris? And 40 seconds, starting now.
I remember me and Nicholas taking Doris around his very small dockyard. And what a wonderful time we had. The smell of Swarfiga was still in the air. Wonderful perfume. She was the cheapest she could get. And I was wearing an aftershave called Midnight in Dockland. A wonderful perfume.
Fred McCauley challenge.
Two wonderfuls.
Yes.
Three wonderfuls. Three, my apologies. Three
wonderfuls. It doesn't matter.
Repetition of wonderful then.
No, yes.
Twice.
And it was. But you only get 1 point for it, Fred. And 24 seconds, you take back the subject of a wee Doc and Doris, starting now.
So you could say to the audience here, what did you do last night? And they may reply, I had a Doc and good time down at the King's Theatre.
Challenge
being for not being very funny.
He stopped. So that is hesitation. He did stop. 16 seconds. This Dewey Doc and Doris is with you now, Clement, starting now.
It scans with boiled beef and carrots. Wee Doc and Doris.
Graham Norton challenge.
I just had to stop it. It's a theatre, Clement. You can't just sing wherever you want.
What about hesitation?
Oh, and hesitation.
Yes, right, yes. So let's hear now from Graham Norton for the last 10 seconds, a wee Doc and Doris, starting now.
My mother has a picture on the wall of a wee Doc and Doris. It looks rather like a small doctor and an old drag queen called Doris. I don't know what the...
So Graham Norton brought that round to a close. He also has brought the show to a close in great style. And alas, in spite of his great contribution, he finished in fourth place. Just behind Fred McCauley, who had a magnificent contribution, who was just behind Paul Merton, who had a great contribution, who was just behind Clement Freud, who had a magnificent contribution.
How come everybody else was magnificent and I was great?
Because I was trying to think of a different adjective and not be repetitious. But now let's have a big round of applause for the winner this week, Clement Freud! And it only remains for me to say thank you to these four fine exponents of this difficult game. And they are Paul Merton, Graham Norton, Fred McCauley and Clement Freud. We also thank Jane Gibson, who's been sitting beside me and blowing her whistle with great style this week and also helping with the score. We thank Ian Messiter, who created the game, and our producer and director, who is Chris Neal. And I also want to thank, on behalf of all of us, this delightful, warm, enthusiastic, responsive, cultured audience here sitting in the King's Theatre in Glasgow. From me, Nicholas Parsons, goodbye!